Hello, everyone. This is Coach Aaron Saft and the Running Is Life podcast. Today, we're talking about fitness absorption versus fitness expression. And I'm going to define that, but I'm going to first give you where this is all stemming from. I am having a lot of conversations as it's almost taper time for many runners right now for spring races, as these spring Boston approaches, Umstead Marathon, or Umstead 100 Miler. There's just a time right now where the taper comes into play, and I want to talk about why it comes into play and what these two terms, absorption and expression, what's the difference, and what are we trying to do during training, and what are we trying to do during tapering? It all kind of comes to fruition from something I did this past weekend. I was at the indoor national meet, Adidas indoor national meet at Virginia Beach with my indoor track kids, and had a long run. I was just having a really hard time finding time to get it in. And when we got there, kind of realized that the Shamrock Marathon Festival was going to be during our time there. And when I was sitting with the kids at breakfast on Saturday, I saw that registration was still open for the marathon. And I thought, okay, well, potentially I could do the marathon as my long run and get this in. Not the greatest thing to do the week before a 50 miler, granted, but my focus isn't on Heartbreaker. Heartbreaker is this coming weekend. As I record this, it is, March 20th. With that said, Heartbreaker is, the 23rd this weekend. So, kind of a short turnaround to a 50 miler, but again, my focus is on Hellbender and training for Hellbender, getting myself prepared for Hellbender and building my endurance for Hellbender. So I thought I'd just go for a good long run with aid stations and perhaps get a medal, as I said in my Strava post. It'll pay for a long run and get a medal and have aid stations along the way. Beautiful little course there in Shamrock. Extremely flat. It was just an easy run. I just kept it right around where my body kind of perceived effort said that this is like conversational pace, which was awesome because I found myself averaging 7:50 a mile, which was great. That's awesome. I felt that was not too hard of an effort. Didn't feel too taxed afterwards. Of course, I was tired. I just ran 26.2 miles, plus the warm up to get to the the venue, to the starting line. But with that, and here comes the point of going through all that, is that I had to allow for fitness absorption. Okay, a lot of times after major efforts, be it a race, or a hard workout, we don't allow ourselves time to absorb what we just did. We want to rush back to training because we feel like we're going to lose fitness. And it's actually contrary. We will gain fitness in our recovery time, and that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, let's just take a step back and say fitness absorption is allowing the body to recover and gain the fitness from a stimulus, from a race, from a workout, from a long run, okay? That's absorption. We're allowing the time for recovery to absorb that fitness, okay? And we'll go deeper into that definition in just a bit. Now, fitness expression is allowing the body to exhibit its fitness, okay? At a certain point, be it a taper, a mini taper, whatever it may be, we need to allow our body to express its fitness. We have to reduce the amount of stimulus that we're providing so that we can now feel fresher and allow our fitness to come out and say, okay, I don't feel the fatigue because I'm well rested. I have absorbed my fitness and now I'm tapering. I'm allowing myself to run relaxed and feel good about how I'm doing right now. That's expression. Okay. So going into a little deeper about how do we absorb fitness. As I said, fitness is absorbed, okay? And what I mean by that is you're allowing the body to take on the stimulus that you've given it, whatever it may be, through a workout, through a long run, through a race. You're allowing it to recover from that. And again, let's go a little deeper even there. Okay, so let's say I do a peak VO2 workout. Let's define that as an RPE of 9 to 10, heart rate zone 5, okay? That's going to be a really tough workout. We're really going to accumulate a lot of acidity within the system and tax the muscles due to the overburdening of that acidity. The body needs to recover from that. And to be able to truly absorb that fitness, we do not want too excessive of a workout within the next 2 days. It takes about 48 hours for the body to come back to full recovery, to homeostasis, okay? So with that said, we want to let the body recover within 48 hours. What does that look like? Okay, good question. It can be a day off. It can be a walk. Okay, it can be any activity that keeps the heart rate low. And what's low? Typically, the day after a workout, you want to be, in my terms, RPE of 4. And to me, that's a jog. Okay, so you want to jog, recover. Okay, keeping it zone 2. That's ideal for recovery. Some people go into zone 3. I prefer to see my athletes in zone 2 on a recovery day. Now, the second day, okay, you can build up your volume a little bit, but we don't want to be excessive with the heart rate. Again, we're trying to keep it low RPE, 4 to 5, okay, so you can start to get into that conversational pace running, or zone 2 to zone 3, okay? So again, now don't want to do a ton. Right, it's okay if you build the volume of your run back a little bit. Okay, if you did a perhaps a medium long run, if you're feeling like that's sufficient. Okay, that you can incorporate more volume back into the run. That's fantastic. So, now that's a peak VO2 workout. That's probably our one of our most taxing workouts that we can do. If we were to do a lactate threshold workout. Okay, here, lactate threshold, I perceive that in the RPE scale, the rating of perceived exertion scale, of a 7 to 8. Okay, and then in heart rate, that's in terms of about 80 to 85% max heart rate. That's kind of our threshold zone. Okay, so with a workout like that, it only takes us about 24 hours to recover from. Okay, so again, next day is a recovery day, just as I defined it with the peak VO2 day. It still, holds and applies here. Okay. This is not an episode about double threshold. I know double threshold workouts exist. I'm not referring to double thresholds. Most people are not going to do double threshold workouts. So for those of you that are considering it or doing it, that's not a part of this conversation. Okay. That's a separate conversation. But even if you did do a double threshold session, the next day should be a recovery session. Okay. As I defined in the peak VO2. Okay, so it takes about 24 hours to recover from. But again, listen to your body. If you get through day 1 and day 2, you're still not feeling quite recovered from it, either A, you went too hard during that session, during that lactate threshold session, or B, the body just needs a little bit more time to recover. Okay, sometimes the lactate shuttle is not working as quickly. For whatever reason, it could be a lack of sleep, it could be poor nutrition, lack of hydration, a combination of a million different things. So, but listen to your body. If it needs more recovery, give it to it. Because again, you are going to absorb the fitness much better from that workout than if you try to push, because you're looking at numbers. Don't look at your metrics, right? Listen to your body. Let that be the guide, okay? Don't worry about your weekly mileage or your weekly time volume or your weekly vert numbers, okay? Again, if your body's not recovering, you're going to push it to the level of fatigue and it's not going to respond, okay? You're not going to gain fitness from it. We're trying to get you fitter, okay? So don't get hung up in the numbers, okay? And we're going to talk about some of the things that you can look at to make sure that you're recovering from an effort, okay? So don't give it too much stimulus or stress. All right. Again, when we talk about stress, stress is stress. So if you're having a stressful day during a recovery day, that may be another reason why on day 2, you're still not feeling recovered, right? Because you have that cortisol in the system and it's taxing your body. It's taxing your heart, okay? Because of that stress. So recognize that. you may need another day of recovery. So listen to the body. There's and this goes to our stress-rest balance, okay? Once you create a stress, you must recover from it. That's just a given law of training, okay? So what other things can stress be? Stress can also be a medium-long run. The day after a medium-long run should be pretty low volume. Doesn't have to be low intensity, okay? In other words, it doesn't have to be a true zone 2 day, or in my terms, a 4 RPE day, a jog day. It can be a normal conversational pace run, just reduced volume, okay? After a long run creates a lot of stress because of the duration of the event. I know people get hung up in mileage, but I'm going to stress it again here. Your body does not understand mileage. It doesn't care how many miles you went. Your body understands the amount of time that you were on your feet. That's what it starts to make the adaptations from, is the time on feet. So stop being so concerned with how many miles you did. Sure, miles have their place, okay? But this is not a part of this conversation. I want to stress that, you know, the body understands time and it understands your heart rate. It does not understand the pace that you're going. It could care less what your pace is. It only understands the duration and time and your heart rate, okay? So that's why the effort is so important. If you're going by RPE, you have to learn what is easy, okay? Because if you go too hard, you're missing the recovery point of doing a recovery run. So back off on your recovery days. That's the most vital thing. If you're going to do a run on a recovery day, it has to be a jog. It should feel so slow and easy. I know that's really hard for people, but if you really want to make the adaptations and gain from your fitness, you got to slow down, okay? Yeah, we call it the Kenyan shuffle, right? Kipchoge, you know, he runs, 440 per mile in a marathon, and he's doing his easy days at 9:30 to 10:30 pace. All right, if the world's best is running that slow, I always use this example. I think we can run a bit slower, right? So relax, slow down, okay? Learn your stress recovery balance, okay? You create a stimulus, you recover from the stimulus. In that recovery, we're making the adaptation from the stimulus, and we're actually going to get fitter from that, okay? It's just as we do post-season, right? We call it the super compensation effect. I've talked about this in previous episodes. You've created so much stimulus over the course of a training block, the body needs recovery time. And so you take, you know, whatever it be, 2 weeks to a month off, right, after a full block, and then you start building back. But now you're building back at a fitness that's higher than a previous level, and that's what we call supercompensation. This is to a lesser effect when we look at it on this micro scale of doing a workout or a long run, but it's the same concept. We're working on a supercompensation effect at a smaller scale, okay? The other piece of this, when we talk about recovery, is sleep is essential. Sleep is vital. You know, I was a little bit off kilter because I ran the marathon, went to the rest of the meet on Sunday, and then we had to drive 7 hours home. We didn't get home until 3:30 a.m. I did not get a good night's sleep. That stinks because I probably lost some of that fitness absorption because I didn't sleep enough. Now, the next night, I got a lot of sleep, okay? But I needed it. I felt it. Right? So sleep is essential to this process, to your recovery process. So get your sleep, right? It's really hard. Sometimes after, you know, a long day, a workout, and you have to wake up early the next day, but try your best to get as much sleep as possible. Whatever you can do. That's a key component of recovery is sleep. And we're going to talk about some of the other things that are part of that. Okay. How do we recognize if we're stressed or in recovered state? Okay, a few things that you can look at to determine, am I recovering? Am I doing okay? Is my body ready for another stimulus, another workout? So after a workout, your resting heart rate is probably going to be elevated. You're going to notice that your average heart rate is up 3 to 5 beats. If it's up 5, you're definitely not recovered, right? So again, taking your resting heart rate, looking at your resting heart rate is a great metric to see how are you recovering. HRV, okay? HRV is another metric that you can look at. It will tell you, You know, nope, today's not the day to work out, right? If you're not familiar with HRV, again, I could dive into that on a separate episode. So if you're interested in HRV, let me know and I'll do a separate episode on HRV. But that's another good metric to look at to see how am I doing? How am I recovering? Another metric, this one came into play when I was training for Western States, is average pace, okay? If your average pace on your conversational pace runs, I call them 5 to 6 RPE or zone 3 in your heart rate. If you are not within your average pace, and I'm not talking, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, even up to, let's just say 10 to 20 seconds. If you are consistently behind 30 seconds or more, okay, I was noticing that I was way behind minutes, right? I was not doing well. And that's what I communicated to my coach. I said, hey, this isn't going the right way. I'm slowing down. My average pace is just awful. So seeing that, you have to recognize, okay, yeah, I'm not recovered, right? When I did the 2 weekends ago, when Nathan and I ran the 24-mile long run and we got 9,000 feet of elevation gain, I hopped on the treadmill just because that's a controlled environment in which I can see how am I recovering. And I could see that, at 10-minute pace, which is a little bit slower than my average pace for zone 2, my heart rate was still drifting. I was still going up, which means I wasn't recovered. So you can tell by using your metrics here, I recognize that I said, your body doesn't understand pace, but it's still a metric you can use to understand where am I at, right? Based on heart rate, based on the true metric or your RPE, right? Here's where I feel like I'm running my normal pace. And if you look down and you're like, oh God, I'm like 45 seconds to a minute behind my average pace, and this feels normal, you're not recovering, right? You're not recovered. And if that stays consistent, you have too much stimulus. You are overtraining. Okay, this is getting into overtraining. You've gone beyond what the body can recover from. It needs to recover. So you have to take downtime. You have to, and that doesn't mean you have to take off. It means you need to reduce effort and volume. Okay, if it gets really bad, then yes, time off is probably needed. Your body is way too fatigued. If you're noticing consistent elevated heart rate, HRV scores are coming in and it's saying that you're toast. if your average pace is way above average, all signs that you're not recovering well. Now, this would be over a span of time, not over a few days, right? When I went back to my example of the 24-mile long run and I said that, I ran that on a Saturday. I took Sunday off. And then I did a slight jog on Monday. That's when I started noticing, okay, not quite recovered yet. Same thing on Tuesday. I was like, all right, getting better, right? But I knew I wasn't back. So you have to make adaptations based on what you're seeing. Be smart about what you're seeing. Is your heart rate elevated during running? Is your pace slower during running? If so, keep recovering. Now, again, it doesn't mean you have to reduce necessarily the duration. It just means you need to reduce the intensity. Okay, keep it easy so that you do recover. Also notice your sleep patterns. How are you sleeping? Okay, if you're having restless night's sleep consistently, your body is in a stress state. It's not able to drift off to sleep and stay asleep and hit that REM phase, which we need for recovery. So notice your sleep patterns. Notice your appetite. Are you hungry or are you not hungry? Okay, if you're super hungry, it means that you're burning a lot of calories. So you have to keep up with that. So based on your volume, you have to keep up with caloric intake. So watch your appetite. Okay. Make sure that you're staying hydrated. That's the other big thing. We need to stay hydrated in order for our body to function properly. So stay hydrated. Okay. So, That's fitness absorption, okay? Fitness absorption, being able and capable to recover enough that we absorb that fitness that we're giving the body, the stimulus that we're giving the body. Now, allowing fitness to express itself, that usually comes during the taper, as I mentioned earlier. In the taper, okay, be it a mini taper or a full taper that's going into your main event, what we're trying to do is make sure that we're fully recovered from the training block that we've just done. If you've done a good job, or if your coach has done a good job, you won't need as much of a taper, okay? In 100 miles, sometimes recoveries or tapers are up to 3 weeks. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. Again, it depends on how you've reacted from the last training block. Usually going into 100-mile training or into a 100-mile race, your body has gone through the maximum volume phase. So how has it reacted from all that volume? Are you tired? If you're fatigued, then the taper becomes essential, and you'll have to taper harder. Okay. Same thing in marathon training. Basically, you've come from an integration phase, hopefully, in which you've done marathon pacing and higher volume runs. Your taper might be more essential. You may have to taper harder. We have to balance the scales, we call it. This is what I learned from the Arthur Lydiard course, is balancing the scales. Okay, so what does that look like? Well, on the one side, you can feel extremely sluggish and lethargic during a taper. And that just means that your body needs neuromuscular awakening. And by that, it's doing higher intensity intervals. You can throw in some surges, just some 1 minute surges at 9 to 10 RPE, fast, right? Hard. Zone five. We want to just kind of trigger the system to wake it up. That's basically what we're doing, is waking up the body. So if you're feeling lethargic and tired, sleepy, sluggish, make sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure you're getting enough fluids. Okay, make sure you got enough calories, and we have to be careful during the taper, because now we're reducing volume. So we should be reducing our caloric intake if it necessitates that. Okay, if you're feeling adequate, right? So with that, if you're feeling sluggish, throw in the surges. Now, if you're feeling too good, if you're feeling, I could tear it up today. I wish the race was today. You need to add volume. So add time to your run. Okay. That will balance that, okay? So it will kind of bring the scale back to even. That's what I mean by balancing the scales. If we're looking at the scale and the one side is tipping down and that's lethargic, we do the surges to bring it back to even. If we're looking at the other side of the scale and we're feeling too good, then we have to throw in more volume to balance the scales. So during the taper, it's kind of let's see how I feel today, right? So incorporating still some intensity into the taper, it helps. It keeps the legs fresh, right? Usually we reduce volume during the taper. But again, if you're feeling too good, increase the volume ever so slightly. It may not be much, right? Adding an additional 15 to 20 minutes to a run, okay? But listen to your body and watch for the signals I spoke about in recognizing your body's state, right? Where are you at? What does it need? Okay, you have to listen to the body during all of training. You know, when we're in fitness absorption, or whether we're trying to do fitness expression. Okay, so a good example. I know he's listening to this podcast. I've got a runner coming up on his goal race, and he was worried. He said, "I don't think I'm fitter than I was last time." And I said, "I think you are, based on all we've done and the added volume. We increased volume over this training block. I think that you're going to be just fine. I think we just need to allow your fitness to express itself." And once we start this taper, and once he started to get those lower volume runs, all of a sudden that pace came down like that. It's we're allowing fitness expression. Coming off a maximum volume phase, you may question yourself, am I fit enough? Allow the taper to express your fitness, and all of a sudden you will see, oh yeah, I'm fit, I'm ready, let's roll. Okay, so that's fitness absorption versus fitness expression. I hope that helps. I hope that gives you some ideas of how to make your training a little bit better. As I said, we have Heartbreaker this weekend. We just received an email. We may get some inclement weather at the higher altitudes, the higher elevations this weekend. And if that's the case, the parkway may be closed. And in which case, we would be running an alternate course. Now, that alternate course is an out and back, multiple out and backs on service roads. I've already put in my head, if that's going to be the case, I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm not going to run Heartbreaker. I need more elevation gain. Last weekend, doing the marathon on a completely flat course, good time on feet, good effort, right? Good training, You know, that's fine, but I need to get out there and get some elevation. I need to get some up and down. Get ready for Hellbender. Again, Heartbreaker is not the goal, and you know it won't serve my purposes. So I may go out and just do my own thing. I'm already kind of making my side plan just in case. Now we may be able to run, and in which case I'll run Heartbreaker. But you know, again, you have to look at your goal. What is your goal, and what's going to serve your purpose better, right? So, with that said, we'll see what this weekend brings. I hope we get to run on the original course for Heartbreaker. It looks like a beautiful course. Of course, it's on the Hellbender course itself, which is why we're doing it. But my hope is we can run. Other than that, my friends, it was great. My son, he PR'd by 4 seconds in the 800. He was 21st in the National Elite Division. They have two divisions, the Championship, which is the fastest of the fast. He was in the National Elite, but like I said, he PR'd by 4 seconds. Super happy for him. He was on the 4x4. They took 9th overall in the Elite Division, and they ran a 3-second season PR. So very proud of all four boys. I had some other great performances. Our hurdler was 2nd overall in the Elite Division. Our miler was 5th overall. So congratulations to Ryan and Hudson. And our 4x4, which was Ryan, my son Keegan, Hudson, and Will. Just ever so pleased with the way we finished out the indoor season. We're already an outdoor. I've got a meet today, so we're already cranking. Love it. It's been a blast. I'm having a great time with these kids. I've got over 30 kids in my distance program on the track team, which is fun. It's awesome. It's at times it is a bit crazy because we have a billion different workouts going on and a billion different questions, and I'm still trying to help out with the field events and the other kids. My daughter ran last night. She did awesome. She won the mile. Very happy for her. She ran 6:16, I believe, last night in the mile. So it was really cool. It's a fun time of year. I love watching these kids roll. We've got another meet tonight. So, it's full swing right now with track, which is so much fun. I love watching track. So I hope you're enjoying your spring. I hope all goes well in your training. By all means, please, if you have questions, if this raised more questions than it helped you, please let me know. Send me some comments or send me some questions, and happy to look at your training with you. I do have some athletes that are peeling off as their goal races are coming up. So if you're interested in talking about coaching, please reach out and we'll see what we can do. If I have the space, I certainly will take you on board as these races come to completion. A few athletes have surprised me because I thought they were going to peel off after their goal race, but they just decided they loved, you know, training and having coaching, that they stayed on board, which it's really nice. I love that. So other than that, my friends, I don't think there's anything else to say this episode. I really hope you're doing well. I thank you for continuing to listen and support this podcast. And thank you again to my Patreon supporters. Keep moving forward, my friends, and running is life.